If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Do we have outlines tonight? You do? Okay, wonderful. If I could just say a word before we go in tonight. I didn't plan to say this, but I was just sitting over there on that beautiful, wasn't that a sweet song just then? Music is a great gift that God has given us, and I was reflecting on a message that I gave back in the fall. We did a series called the Pendo Series that I know a few of you have kind of perused the website, and you might have checked it out, but it was a 10-week series that really was a lot of fun. It was on our core values as a church, and I absolutely loved all of them. I enjoyed giving each one, but the 10th one, the last one, was something very dear to my heart, and I just want to say this, I think for all of our sake tonight, I believe it's very important, and I alluded to it in the 10 o'clock service this morning. As much as this is a moment about Central Assembly in Springfield, Missouri, and about Red Mountain Christian Center in Mesa, about our family and about you as a church family tonight, I have grown in the seasons of life, and what I shared about this morning, to realize it is never about us. It's just never about us. And how many know sometimes we get things really turned and think it's about us, but how many know it's about Him? It's about Him. Last March, we buried our 51-year-old, one of our associate pastors who died of colon cancer. And Kurt Warner was there, the service, they're friends of the Warner family. And it was one of those, I mean, I've had some difficult funeral messages, but Bill's was so difficult. A packed out church on a Wednesday night, and we celebrated the life of a man that it felt to me that just all along the journey, and it was a very difficult journey of about 18 months, and one of the closest family relationships that I have walked with a family, and many of you have been there, you've lost, we have all lost in our lives. But it's just a fresh reminder, and I just want to remind all of us tonight that it's just never about us. Every one of us here is replaceable. How many of you know that's true? That's a sober reality, but it's true. And so whether it be physically, in a physical sense of how long our life extends, or it be a ministry sense of how long a tenure we have wherever we are, and that 10th Pendo was something to this effect that simply says that we recognize that Red Mountain Christian Center is a very small part of a great big thing that God is doing in the earth. And I believe that about Central tonight. As great of a church as this is, we're just a small little part of what God is doing, a great thing in this earth. Amen? And He's doing an awesome work. So can we keep that in perspective tonight? Amen? Can we just take a moment? I'm going to pray over the word. And I didn't plan to do this. We've already had prayer. But could we just take a moment and stand again and give God glory from our hearts through our words, through our lifting of hands? Can we do that? Can we not focus on each other for just a moment? And can we just give God praise? We sing how great He is. How great is our God. How great Thou art. Would you just lift your voices for just a minute? God, we praise You, and we exalt You as our God, and we say, great is Your kingdom tonight, Lord. How awesome a God You are, Lord. We praise You, and we You tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me tonight? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And everybody said amen tonight. Now turn to the person beside you. See, I'm glad you're part of that kingdom. All right? Just one person. And then you can be seated tonight. Amen. Oh, I'm fine, but thank you. Thanks, David. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you take your outline out. Tonight's message was a really fun weekend for our church, and I purposely withheld it from the website because I just needed to have a sermon that you haven't heard, and so I withheld it. Whether the Spirit led that or I led it, I just know we did that. But this was a unique weekend because as we are moving through the Bible, we had come to Deuteronomy in that following week. They were going to be in Deuteronomy 6, and we targeted as a staff. And so Pastor Scott, with our children, he taught the very same concept that I taught, but on a children's level. And I'm not called a children's ministry. How many know that? You can already tell that. Okay, and so I honor those that are. They just have their knack. But Scott does a beautiful job, and he ministered to them. And Pastor Sean, on the Wednesday night prior, he took Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he ministered it to our young people, our junior high and high school student ministries. We just made it a big weekend then, the focus that all families would come together. Then we put together a family pack, and in the family pack were age-appropriate lessons, so that little children from Pastor Scott, they had coloring and different things to do and puzzles and things. And then the youth had something appropriate to them. And then for the families to get together and to have what's called a family altar. How many of you know that is somewhere in our history as a church? And so we encourage them to one night this next week, get together and go through your packets and everything that we give to you. And we gave everybody a family pack. And in those that were single, we encouraged them to use it as their devotional that week, et cetera. Then the other thing we did is we gave these type of bands to everybody. And we had two different sizes. And they were for children, for youth. And it simply said live2010.com because that's been our website. Encourage people to hear the audio Bible and to get some of the Bible helps and to be able to follow along in our reading. And so it was a fun weekend, and this was a message just a few weekends ago that we did that together. Say it with me if you will tonight, and if you bring that up on the screen, our first slide together. Life is like a box of... No. Life is like a box of rubber bands. How many know that's true tonight? How many of you know life has a tendency to stretch us? Huh? Life stretches. We use phrases like this: I'm getting spread too thin. And that just means we have too many things going on in our life. We say, man, that really stretched me, when we have an event or a situation, something that just seems beyond us and we have to step into it. We often will say, I feel I'm being pulled in too many directions, when again, we feel that in our lives. Our text tonight is, I think, a moment for Israel that they were really, really feeling stretched. And things had to be exciting, but it had to be a little scary for them. And many of you that know the background, the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is the second go-around, if you will. It is that young generation about to head into and take possession of the promised land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have Moses, the great leader, ready to hand things to Joshua as his successor and the one that's going to now take them on in. And we had covered all of that leading into this weekend and coming here to the book of Deuteronomy, and a favorite chapter for me, chapter 6. It's a very important chapter in the book, wonderful book. But we note here something, and that is that there is that stretch that they were feeling, but also we note something very relevant to human nature that we're going to talk about tonight, is something that God really brought home to that next generation, the younger generation that was headed into the promised land. Now, Israel knew what it was to be stretched, but God knew what, once they settled into that land, what the great danger was. And that's what we'll get to here in just a moment. How many know, though, when we feel stretched in life, we feel tension. It gets our focus when we really feel stretched, whatever the situation may be. And there are times of stretching that impact our spirits, and there's a tension within us. It can be everything from a major transition in life. It can be a relational problem. It can be a marriage, a breakup. It can be any kind of a catastrophe in our lives, or just something on the job that you are really being stretched relationally, or in the requirements of what you need to do in your work. I've used an illustration in counseling through the years with couples, and Carl and I have been part of a marriage ministry years ago that really helped give us a roadmap and did some incredible things in our own marriage, and I've used many of the principles in ministering to couples and teaching in some settings, but one thing I've often used is the illustration of just a good old rubber band. And that is that many times a couple, they will come and they will finally be on the same page. I often liken it to riding a bicycle, and it seems like one's up here and the other one's down here. And then finally the one partner comes around and says, well, I'll get help. And then the other one's down here. And could I ever get you two on the same plane? Can we work at this marriage? Because how many know God loves marriage? And he wants the home to be held in his plan. And so many times you get that couple, they're at that place and they say, we're ready to do it. And so I'll say, well, here are the books that I want you to read. And we're going to meet then every other week. And I'm going to set some accountability and I'm going to lay out some things for you. And all of these things tend to stretch them and the accountability. How many of you know accountability is good for us? That was really quiet. How many know accountability is really good for us? Because it stretches us. Because, you know, I got to go in there and he's going to ask me, did I read that chapter and did we apply that and did we have that time of prayer together? And we'll stretch. But how many of you know the danger is with human nature that we can live stretched so long, but once we get over that crisis in our lives, how many of you know it's really easy that everything kind of goes right back to where it once was? Next thing you know, there's the call. Pastor Jeff, can we meet with you again? What's going on? You know what I have to do many times? The very same things. Just bring back the same principles, same books, same counseling, the same accountability, and get that stretch. And how many of you know the tendency to human nature is that we can live in that stretch, but once the onus is off of us, we kind of many times go right back to where we were. How many of you have ever dieted in your life? Let's just move on in our sermon tonight, all right? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. We see a great concern that God had for Israel here in Deuteronomy 6. And if you have your Bibles open, leave them open because we're going to break it into a few sections tonight and we're going to go through the entire chapter. It'll be about 3 hours from now that you'll be allowed to have your meeting. I thought I'll get all I can get in today, so just kidding. Chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands and decrees and laws that the Lord your God directed me, Moses, to teach you, Israel, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. And the Shema begins, verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, say it with me, the Lord is one. How many of you love that song, How Great Is Our God? I don't care, it's been around for several years, but that just seems to unite us. I love that tonight. I love to sing that song. Tonight, first of all, the commandment of the Lord. If you follow along in your outline, the commandment of the Lord. There is something very important to the why. And any college students here tonight and any young people that might have wandered into a night like this, I want you to capture this tonight because it's a beautiful thing that Moses stresses here. And first of all, having to do with the commandments, the decrees, the stipulations, and the commands of God, first of all, he stresses their intention. Did you notice that? Verse number 2. Their intention is, first of all, so that generations to come would fear him. So already we begin to see the hint of where this is going in chapter 6. Secondly, so that they would enjoy long life, verse number 2. And then third, that it would go well with them in the land, verse number 3, verse number 18. See, a lot of people believe the commands of God are some arbitrary rule that God is a cosmic authority of this universe he created, just wants to just lay out and he just does it his way and there's no really rhyme or reason to it. Much like as a parent, you've probably done what I've done when they finally said, well, why? And we said, because I said so. How many of you love that phrase? Doesn't it feel good? Because you're so powerful. I'm the God of this house, you know. Oh, that's dangerous, but you know what I'm talking about. But we've said that before to our kids, just an arbitrary, well, just because I said so. Many people think that is the reason that God gives us all the commandments of his word and the moral authority that he brings us in his word of how we are to live our lives. But here we discover something so wonderful. He's more than just Donald Trump sitting behind a table just saying and firing who he wants to fire. There's a principle here. Look at it again, verse 18, if you'll drop down. Verse 18, he said, Israel, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and that you can go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. See, the principle is not just for Israel. The principle is for all of us here. And the longer that I have served the Lord, the more I've realized that it is worth every bit. Every command that I follow of God in this book pays off in my life. And the ones that I haven't followed, how many know they pay dividends too? But these rules are here so that what? So that we'll be blessed. Apostle John said that the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. Why did John say that? Because John is the lover. John is the disciple that focused on the love of God and the love of Christ and his own relationship with the Lord. And he focused so much on us loving one another. It's that John understood love. And so John had no problem connecting the commandments of the Lord with the love of God. And so he said, they're not burdensome. The more that I serve him, the sweeter that it gets. So I know that I am following a God who loves me and his commandments then are for me. Back up in your Bibles to chapter 5. Look at verse number 29. I love this verse. Before we get into chapter 6, look at that, verse 29. Oh, say that with me tonight. Oh, say it again. Oh, oh, he says, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me. Who's speaking here? God. God, Jehovah God to his people Israel. Oh, do you hear the longing in the heart of God? Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and to keep all of my commands always. Why? So that it might go well with them and their children forever. How many of you know, as a heart of a parent, you just wish your kids would listen to you because you know what's best? How many of you know God feels the same way about us? And you sense this all throughout, that for Israel, God's heart in Deuteronomy was that they would just obey him and follow him and those commandments that they're for their good so they might go well with you when you get into that land for generations to come. Second, we see the expression of the commandments of God, verses 6 through 9. The expression of the commandments. Let's read it together. Look on the screen if you will. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, verse 5, and with all your soul and with all your strength, verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Now, verse number 6 then, first of all, is that they were to be upon the hearts of the adults. These commandments to be upon our hearts. But then a very interesting word. Secondly, to impress them upon your children's hearts. That word impress in the Hebrew literally means to sharpen or to pierce something. It's used in Psalms. They sharpen their tongues like swords and they aim their words like deadly arrows. It's an incredible picture that God in this Hebrew word here wants you and I to literally pierce the heart of our children with the word of God. Literally pierce them like an arrow. You want to impress this upon them. And then look at the deliberate action here. There are multiple verbs used, verse 7 and 8 and 9. Impress them, pierce them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them upon your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. You're to talk, you're to tie, you're to bind, you're to write. We see this to be then a natural central part of family. This is just something that God intended for Israel to live in their homes, to have written upon the doorpost, to have it placed upon their foreheads, to pierce them and impress it, these commandments upon their children. Now follow me. The word children is used in Deuteronomy 39 times. A man stood at this mic earlier and asked the question about children's ministry. How many of you know kids' ministry is very important in a church? And as we look at it here, God formed Israel as his special nation, a special vehicle we know by which he would bring the Savior of the world to this earth. And we know that God had a plan for Israel, and not only to bless Israel, but he said, Israel, you will be a blessing to all of the nations of the world. And he said that those nations that bless you, I will bless, and those nations that curse you, I will curse. So God had an incredible plan for Israel, but there was a plan here. And follow me, it wasn't going to end with that first generation that left that night of Passover. God's concern was far beyond that. It was generations to come. He had to have the generations to fulfill, a holy people, a holy nation unto him. And the key would be to perpetuate then the laws and the commandments of God. And so then children obviously would be key, even as they are to you and I today. They were in that day in Israel. 39 times God talks about the children of Israel, speaking of their little ones that were coming up under them. And where did it all begin? In the tabernacle? No. In the synagogues? No. It all was to begin in the home. When you lie down, when you get up. When you walk along the road, tie it up on their hands, write it up on the doorpost. The night weekend that I was speaking this, it was Saturday night, and I had ran from the church to go grab a quick bite. And I came back, and Elizabeth was getting out of her car with her two little ones. And she had a little girl that she was pushing, their youngest, in a little stroller. And then little Grace is 4 years old, and she had on the cutest dress that night. And I yelled out and said, "Hey, Elizabeth, how you doing?" And immediately little Grace said, "Don't you like me?" I said, "Oh, I love you. I love you. You're just beautiful, Grace." And I kind of made over a little bit. And a few minutes later, then she just, or a few seconds later, she started to talk a paragraph that I caught like every fourth word. And I didn't know what quite she was saying. And I looked at Elizabeth and said, "What is she saying?" Here's what she was saying. "On the way to church tonight, I asked Jesus into my heart." Ah, isn't that cool? And I just rejoiced then with Elizabeth. And then a few minutes later, we were talking and I looked over and we have this, the new building that we built just a couple years ago has this beautiful brickwork on the side. And there was little Sarah, she was just standing there, or Grace rather, standing there at that wall about this close. I said, "What is she doing?" "I don't know," Elizabeth said, "but it looks like she's still praying through or something, you know." And she was there, it looked like she was at the praying, the wall, Wailing Wall in Jerusalem or something. And she was just sitting there and literally she was praying. And on the way there, Elizabeth said, I don't know what has come upon her, but you know what's come upon her. Josh and Elizabeth have planted the word of God in her heart. And I'm sure that there are teachers and the missionettes on Wednesday nights and Pastor Scott and Sunday mornings and others that imparted into her. But I know Josh and Elizabeth well enough to know the fruit of their labor was already realized in their four-year-old daughter. Can you say praise God for that? And many of you had that same privilege as I had to be raised in that. Parents, hear me tonight. That's the command of the Lord. This is his intent because he is concerned that generations to come will fear him and know him in Israel in that day as it is in our day. Second, we see the concern of the Lord. The concern of the Lord. Let's pick it up, verse number 10. "When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Now notice here in your outline, first of all, he was not concerned in their possessing, verse 1. That was a given. He was concerned in their forgetting, verse number 12. See, this chapter opens, actually, the entire tone of the book of Deuteronomy is their preparation to go up and take the land. And the issue is not whether they will take it. Now, this generation is going in. There's just no hesitation with God. There's no hesitation with Moses. It's very clear. They are going to go in. That is not the concern at all. The concern throughout Deuteronomy is once they get into the promised land, then what are they going to do? It's after they have taken possession, after they have defeated their enemies, after they begin to live in houses they did not build, after they begin to drink and eat of the vineyards that they did not plant, after they begin to drink water from wells they did not dig. That was the concern of God. And it's a theme to the book. How many of you know human nature is that man really likes to kind of forget God once everything is smoothened out in his life? It's just part of human nature. And when we are fully provided for and blessed, and it's so easy to slide right into a self-determination and a self-reliance, but how many of you know it all comes from, through, and back to God, as I shared this morning? Well, here's a few examples in Deuteronomy. Look on the screen, Deuteronomy 4:9. "Only," he said, "be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen. You let them slip from your hearts. Teach them to your children." Chapter 4, verse 23, "Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you." Verse 25, "After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time." Ooh, chapter 8, Deuteronomy really, really zeroes in on it. Verse 11, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees I'm giving you this day." Verse 12, "Otherwise," he says it again, "otherwise when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down." See, now they're building the houses. Chapter 6, he says, "When you take houses you did not build." Chapter 8, he says, "When you build your own houses," see. He says, "When you build your own houses, settle down. When your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase and all that you have is multiplied," say it with me, "then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Second, we see here, it was not in their settling that God was concerned. They were going to settle. They were going to start building. They'd start planting their own vineyards. They'd begin to dig their own wells. They would build their own houses. The settling was not the issue, but the concern with God was their future. It was verse 10, or 20 rather, and verse 24. You skip down in your Bibles or on the screen, look at verse 20. He says, "In the future. When your son asks you, what is this meaning? The stipulations, the decrees, the laws of the Lord your God that he's commanded you. You are to tell your son, son, listen, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders and great and terrible upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all of these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. End of chapter. Wow. God's concern was the future. Guys, you're going in. But he knew the heart of Israel. And he knew the danger was that in the future when your son says, what does all these commandments, what do these things mean? Oh, here's what they mean. The Lord our God brought us out. He redeemed us. We passed under the blood. And we were passing through the sea. And then he swallowed up Pharaoh's army. And then he provided manna. And he provided water from the rock. And to tell the story and recount to your son so that your sons and your future sons and then those grandchildren and those great-grandchildren, generation to generation, they will know why these commands matter so much to Israel. And we see thirdly tonight the call of God here. And it's repeated not only once or twice, but 16 times throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And it's this, the call of the Lord was remember. Remember. As I've often encouraged our church, anytime, and this is just good hermeneutics, but anytime that you see a word or something repeated in Scripture, please take note of that, because the Holy Spirit does that with purpose. And so when we see something repeated 16 times in the book of Deuteronomy, we realize there was something here that God wanted Israel to remember. Kind of back to the rubber band. See, because how many know, whenever they stood there at the mountain and they said, yes, Moses, we will obey the Lord our God. They were at a point of stretch, and we absolutely will. And when they were going in the promised land and Joshua was about to lead them in the conquest of Canaan, I mean, they were a stretched people. They were holding on to God. They learned very quickly in Ai and Jericho that they had to rely upon God to take all of those nations and all of those people. And they lived in that stretch. But how many of you know, God knew the danger of what would happen once they settled down. And they would forget the Lord their God. A man asked in the Q&A, what do you think about prayer? How many know prayer is a part of us recognizing we are dependent upon God? Prayer keeps us, we need to keep humbled on our knees, because that's what keeps us remembering that it's all about God, it's not about us, and that we're not self-reliant in this thing. If you look there in your outline, I give you a summary of 9 things that specifically in Deuteronomy it says to remember. Very quickly, they were to remember Mount Sinai's experience. And the covenant, when that law was given by Moses. They were to remember that moment when the mountain shook and the thunder and the lightning and the cloud that descended upon Mount Sinai. They were to remember that moment. They were to remember their deliverance from slavery in chapter 5 and 4 other times in the book of Deuteronomy. They were to remember Pharaoh and Egypt's demise, how God brought the 10 plagues, capping it off with that night of Passover. They were to remember God's leading and his testing and his providing for 40 years, that their sandals did not wear out, that God provided everything that you needed. Remember this once you move into the promised land. They were to remember chapter 8, verse 18, that God is their source. They were to remember their sin there at Sinai when they built the molten calf. They were to remember the little ones need to be told the truths of God. Isn't that precious? Chapter 11, verse 2. Remember to teach your children these things. They were to remember the Passover and what it meant, chapter 16, 3. They were to remember the judgments of God, chapters 9 and 24 upon Israel, and chapter 25 upon the Amalekites. Wow. Look at all that God said, I don't want you to forget. Remember these things. And just to ensure that they would remember these things and teach them to their children, in the book of Deuteronomy, we see 3 additional things that God gave Israel. And these things begin, first of all, I believe, of ways that they would remember. And the first thing was that there was a required place of worship that they would have to go to. Chapter 12. I just mentioned repetition. 7 times in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, we read the word, the place. The place. The place. The place. The place. The place. What's the place? Well, all of those pagan nations that they were going to conquer, they worshiped their pagan gods in all kinds of immoral ways up on the mountaintops, up on the hilltops. And God said, oh, no, no, no. When you come into this promised land, there is going to be a place that I will assign, and that will be the place that you will place the tabernacle, and you will worship me there, and you will go and meet with me there. See, God did not want them to be like the other nations, and so he said, it is going to be different. You are going to go to a place. Look on the screen if you will. Deuteronomy 12, verse 4. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, those nations, but you are to seek the place that the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. You know why? Because that would be the reminder that God is God. And if they'd go out and just worship as these other gods and get caught up in all of this other pagan revelry and worship, no, they needed to go to a place. How many know that place would be the constant reminder of who God was in Israel? That was a place that they needed to go to worship. The second thing he did was the seven feasts, celebrations throughout the year. There are four in the spring for you and I, what we call spring, and three in the fall. You pass over unleavened bread. You go on to have the Feast of Unleavened, or rather of First Fruits, and then you have the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. Then you come all the way to the fall for you and I and have three other feasts, those seven. But then there were three in particular that in Deuteronomy 16, here's what it says. Three times a year, all of your men must appear before the Lord, your God, at the place that he will choose. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So two of them in the spring and the one in the fall for you and I. And I love this phrase, capture this. Ron Hembry years ago, many of you know Ron. Ron Hembry, a friend of mine, taught this and ministered it to our church in such a beautiful way. No one is to appear before the Lord empty-handed. That's a principle of worship. How many of you know you always have something to thank God for? You always have something to return to the Lord. And the picture here is that no one was to come empty-handed. Everyone was to come with something in their hand. Verse 17, each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way that your God has blessed you. So see, there were the required feasts then, three of them in particular, that every man in Israel had to go to the place, had to go to the tabernacle, and present himself to the Lord at the dwelling that he would put his name at. Why bring a sacrifice? Why have to offer something to God? I tell you why. That would make you remember God. That's the principle, I think, of the tithe, is a reminder to us. We keep remembering God has provided and we return to him. God has provided and we return to him. How many know it's a systematic thing? It just becomes a part of your life. And you watch God meet your needs and you bless him in return for the way that he has blessed you. And you always remember he is our source. It's when we don't return to him, we start on our own, I guess, thinking self-reliance. That's the danger. And these three were special. Unleavened bread was a reminder, went right with Passover, a reminder of their redemption. You move on to the Feast of Weeks, it was a reminder that God is their provider and that they would bring in the harvest and then they would bring to the tabernacle. They would celebrate in that second time of the year that they were to bring something. Don't come empty-handed. Remember what the Lord your God has done for you. And then we have that third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. And what was that so significant? Why? Because they would build their little booths, remember? And for that week, they were to live in those booths to remember that our forefathers came out of Egypt and they lived for 40 years out in that wilderness experience. It was a reminder once again that in those 40 years that God provided everything they needed in those 40 years. Constant reminder, remember, remember the Lord. The place, and then we come here thirdly to the required first fruits and tithes that I just mentioned. If you look with me on the screen, Deuteronomy 26 verse 1, a third way that God wanted them to remember him. When you have entered the land that the Lord your God gives you. Now listen to this. I love this chapter. When you have entered. There wasn't a question. They're entering. They're going to possess it. When you enter the land that the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land and of the Lord your God has given you and put them in a basket. And then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as his dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at that time. See, this is future. He doesn't know who's going to be the priest at that moment that's bringing it in. So you bring it in a basket, and you say to the priest, I love this, I declare today the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. And the priest would then take the basket, place it before the altar, and then you, not the priest, you, the worshiper, were to say these words before God. My father was a wandering Aramean, And he went down into Egypt with a few people, and he lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and afflicted us and made us suffer and put us through hard labor. And we cried out to the Lord, and the Lord of our fathers, he delivered us. And with a mighty outstretched arm, with great terror, and with miraculous signs and wonders, he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. That was your speech. That was my speech. And when we were to come, when you go into that land, first thing you do, take your first fruits, put it in a basket, bring it to the priest. Why? Because God wanted them to remember him. After you had made that little speech before the Lord at the tabernacle, you were then to bow down in his presence. And later in that chapter, and then as well in chapter 14, Moses explains the tithe, that they were to bring 10% to the Lord. Why? Because he wanted them to remember him. Why is this so important? Because they were required to go to that place. Because they are required 3 times a year to appear. And they are required when they moved into that land to bring that tithe and to bring it before the Lord. Why? Because he wanted them to remember him. The danger is forgetting him. Think with me. If they kept going to the tabernacle 3 times a year or more times, and if they kept bringing their tithe and their first fruits, how many know that the likelihood would be if they kept teaching their children and passing it generation to generation, how many know we have a really good chance that Israel is going to not only take possession, but they are going to be a kingdom of priests unto God? Isn't that the plan that God had for them? But many of you know the rest of the story. And isn't it heartbreaking? Isn't it amazing? You come into Judges, always amazes me. It's crazy into the story. Judges chapter 2. I just read it in my reading a week ago. Verse number 10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, Joshua, and they had died, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord their God or what he had done for Israel. And then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers. How many would say that's amazing? See, Deuteronomy was to prepare that people to go in, and a key to it was that they would never forget the Lord their God. And in one generation of time, they forgot who he was and what he had done for Israel. Now, my appeal to us as we close tonight is this. First of all, to say generations are very important. Older generation here at Central Assembly, you are vital, and you are the ones many times, you're the armor bearers. You're the ones that have blazed the trail. And I think we must always bring honor where honor is due, Proverbs says, and certainly it is to our older generation and everyone that's younger here. And I like to throw myself still in that category. It's important that we honor those that have come before us. Older generation, hear me tonight. Let's not let the faith die with you. Let's make sure that that faith is passed to my generation and that my generation is passing the faith to the generation before us. And now as my daughter Whitney and Caleb, like in 20 years from now, have their first child. Could I hear an amen? Because they're not ready financially. Could I hear an amen? They just got married. Whitney brings it up. No. But when they have that little Jeff Jr., amen. Amen. That'd be great. But when they have their little one, that generation now, I'm looking back 2 generations. Are you tracking with us tonight? Do you see how important it is that we, like Israel of old, never forget the Lord our God, and then make sure that we are passing generation to generation the kingdom of God until Jesus comes again. That's his call for us. Amen? Let's bow our heads together, if you will. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for a reminder of when we get stretched that we never forget you, God. And Lord, even at this season and this moment in the history of a church, that God has a great history. And we can look back on 100 years that you have blessed. But Lord, I thank you for now 20 centuries of Christendom in this earth. And Lord, I thank you that in the 100 years that Central Assembly has been allowed to operate and to exist, Lord, that we have seen generation pass to generation the torch. And Lord, as we look to this scripture, we look to this wonderful chapter, it's a reminder to us, God, that we don't forget you, but also that we are sure to pass on to generations coming behind us, the wonderful gospel and the faith of the kingdom of God in this earth expressed through Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Help us to remember that. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen. Amen. Thank you for letting me share the word tonight.